Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we ask for your beautiful presence in our lives. You have made such a beautiful world with beautiful people in it, and we thank you for it. We thank you for making each of us. As Psalm 139, verse 14 says, we will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows very well. Yes, Lord, and thank you for my experience of life, and that my life was not shortened by prematurely being removed from my mother's womb. And so we pray thankfully in Jesus' name. Amen. We all know life is not always easy. In fact, it really has some pretty tough spots. Some of those tough spots just come along naturally. Some of those tough spots come along because we were not careful enough. And some are because we did something really stupid. And yeah, so here's some examples. I remember the very most unattractive man I have ever met or seen. And still, I knew when I met him that he was made by God, and I talked with him. It was just a nice conversation, and I sensed that he appreciated just having a normal conversation with a regular person. And then the next time he saw me, he brought me a little gift, and then I never saw him again. But the thing is, he was naturally so very unattractive. So that's an example of that. An example of not being careful enough in life is when I was at a public event, a man who pretty much had no face came up to me, and he said, I know you. And my first thought was, he wants money. And then he said, I know you from high school. And I thought, yeah, right. But then he continued, and he said his name, and that he had an accident, and he had asked about people we knew in high school. So that's an example of circumstances that just happened when we are not careful enough. And then there are circumstances where we do something just plain stupid. And then we pay the price. Oh, and there's just examples of that, and we know about them. We know that we all can carry the scars in life from our stupid choices. And some of us just might never be the same again. And some of us just carry scars in our mind and on our emotions that will never live as carefree as we once did. you know, like before we lost the innocence of childhood that we had? Well, at some point, we are all faced with something called real life. And what a shock that can be to us when there is something that just happens and then we get faced with real life. In childhood, there are people who just cannot face real life, and they live in a fantasy life. And now we might think those people are kind of strange, but in a way, just everybody has a fantasy world that they spend time in, and it's just that we don't live in that fantasy world. But we all can get caught up in some kind of a fantasy that we want to believe. And, you know, if you just reflect for a moment, you will know that some kind of fantasy can make life easier in a way, because we escape into a dream world. And there are certain younger people who are so inclined to ignore real life and instead only relate to life in their own fantasy world. They can do that on the internet with fantasy friends or fantasy people of every type and every circumstances that they create. It's a constructed world that they create. They buy what they want, and they get certain things from a fantasy world on the internet. Fantasy. The more I learn about this in our cyber computer imagery, the more I just wonder what's going to happen in our future when people live in their own fantasy world and hardly ever have to deal with real life. And this is a kind of a concern, because if they are always in their fantasy world, they don't have to think about anything that's real. They have no thought about death or salvation or being saved from hell or the joy of spending an eternity with Jesus who loves us. So, this, as I look at it, is a form of devilish deceit. And we have to be careful that we don't get caught in these days of being deceived. I think of those younger people that are often called gamers, and they just might think of those Christians who are caught up in their own little fantasy game that they're going to be raptured and they'll go to heaven after they die. And, you know, they can view things as they want to, but somehow we have to be able to reach all the people of the world. And it's not easy. When you think of what our young people are examining, what they're looking at, and you think about what the media is teaching and showing the younger children, like a world of magic where they can have whatever it is that they want when they want it. And there is no reality of death or problems. And it may very well show that we all just get reincarnated to be whatever we want to be. That is one of the realities that our media is showing our children. And then they say that the end is just the end. The end of life is the end of everything. Just like animals, when they die, that's the end. And there is a correlation there, because we young people, or the young people, have been taught about evolution. We evolved from animals anyway, so why would death be any different for us? I mean, look at what the public schools are teaching about evolution. It's no surprise that younger people would have this way of thinking. So it's a little journey in thought to try to understand the battle we are in. It's a spiritual battle, and we can see that for what people are being taught, there's a little hurdle to get over. It's a spiritual battle we are in for the souls of the unsaved. And often enough, the unsaved are in our very own family. So let's pray and pray and pray. And then, when the time is right, let us be able to act in a godly way as we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's a very important part. And then we will be ready also to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I do not think it is only those younger people who are distracted, because we can all be very distracted with all sorts of things. Do you know how many people are distracted by money? Money, money, money. Yes, that's what they're distracted with. Or for some, it might be their sexual relation or lust or whatever it is. But money consumes much energy and much thought. Some of it is about not having enough money, some of it, or getting more money, or what do we do with the money we have. And so, yes, money is a subject to address. It's addressed very often in the scripture. So we know it is important because it reflects if our attention is more towards the heavenly and godly matters, or if our attention is more toward worldly matters. And you can just think of what a typical day would be like for you. Do you think about money things, or relation things like relationships? Or what portion of your day do you think about the matters that concern God, godly matters? What portion of your day? So there, do you see how these are indicators of who you belong to? Do you belong to God, or do you belong to the world? And I don't mean that anyone should judge anyone else on this matter, but these are indicators to pay attention to, and only God will judge you, your soul. So it's still good to look at these things, and from my point of view, it can only do you good to consider how God may judge your eternal soul. And hopefully it is with the covering of Jesus, because Jesus alone is our eternal security. And what brings us to know Jesus anyway? It can be needing forgiveness for our sins, or the realization of death, and then judgment. Or it can be the search for truth. What is really true? But so very many people are distracted by what is going on in the world. People get so busy that some just never pause to consider where we are headed spiritually. or if there is truth to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we probably ought to not be surprised about that, because we do recognize busyness all the time in our life. I've heard people say that busyness is a tool of the devil, so that we are always distracted away from the things of God. And I mean, just look around and you can understand how there are distractions all around you. For instance, if you look into the news, just the news. Let's see. I just saw one which talked about an asteroid that could cause the extinction, or that did cause the extinction of the dinosaurs on Earth, and that there was a debate whether that asteroid came from within our system, solar system, or from outside our solar system. And there's just discussions all about space things. There was a commentator I just heard that was saying, how much would a trip to the outer atmosphere cost you if you wanted to go up into space? Well, if it was only the outer atmosphere, it would cost $250,000. But if you really wanted to go into outer space, it could cost over $2 million. So it's just news. It takes our attention, and we do pay attention to it. We think about these things, and we think about the power outages and the rolling blackouts, and if the Texas fuel refineries are going to temporarily shut down, would that mean our gas prices would increase? What would you do to stay warm if we had a situation like Texas has, where the temperature drops into the 30s? Don't forget that this is a real question. It could happen anytime to any one of us in any state. It's just one of those things to pay attention to. I know I think about the job losses also. That's something else in the news to distract us. 22 million job losses, at least, due to coronavirus. And there are so many people that are permanently losing their jobs. And so there's a question also of how can our country continue to pay unemployment to so many people? Millions of people, billions of dollars. And then there's the payments that go to corporations and cities and states from the Federal Reserve. And then there's the relief bills that have been passed. Some of it is for helping the U.S. workers, and some of it is going to even foreign countries that, for no good reason that I can see, we're just spending and spending and spending. So that's another item. You can also look at the news articles about the value of the U.S. dollar dropping. Why? Because of our tremendous national debt that only grows and grows and grows. That was in the news a few days ago, too. And I talk about what has happened in history when countries have a national debt that cannot be paid. Well, then the international bankers buy that country's assets and charge the people of the country a much higher price for the basics, like water, electricity, and gas. And that's what happens when the currency fails. And businesses pretty much go bankrupt. So that's a general history of where a lot of people, including me, think we are headed, but we don't know the timing. It's a pattern that has happened ever since ancient Rome failed. And then there was Germany in the 1920s, and Austria did too. And then today there's Zimbabwe and Argentina and Colombia and Venezuela. Just countries having their currency fails, because they are in such debt. So will that happen to the United States of America? Well, a lot of people are talking about the U.S. dollar failing. And then what would happen to our country? And what would happen to our trillions of dollars of debt? Our debt has been increasing, increasing, and increasing. One of the things that you can look at besides the national debt is the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, which has to do with the number of dollars that are in circulation that are going between banks and corporations. And they are saying that the Federal Reserve's balance sheets have increased and increased, just like our national debt has. Let's see. In 2020, at the beginning of 2020, our national debt was $22.7 trillion. And at the end of 2020, our national debt was $27 trillion. Huge, huge numbers. All of it. I think of million, billion, and trillion. In seconds, a million seconds are 12 days, a billion seconds are 32 years, and a trillion seconds are 32,000 years. So our debt is just tremendously huge. And the pattern of what happens to countries with huge national debts, they can't not support their currency and cannot support the businesses in their economy. So there's plenty of economists today who say that our economy is being held up with smoke and mirrors. In other words, nothing is holding it up. And that's something which is a condition of human history. And when that happens, hyperinflation is on its way. And that's the thing. The Federal Reserve has said that it would not let the stock market fail and it would not let our economy crash. And what does that mean? Printing money. And that is on its way to hyperinflation. It's not that we know it, but it surely does look that way. Let's see, I just said the Federal Reserve balance sheet. And their assets have gone from, let's see, between 2008 and 2020. Their balance sheet went from $880 billion to 2020, it was $17.2 trillion. And that's an eightfold increase in 12 years. So it's another indicator of inflation. If you look at that increase, it is basically 20% per year, year after year. So is that hyperinflation? It could be. That's something which the economists will discuss and argue about, and it's not like I have the whole answer, but we sure can see the trend. What do we do? What do we do? Well, I've heard that the rich people are buying things that not buildings and property, but instead they're buying things that we need to live, that is, people need to live, which is water and farmland, water rights and farmland. Because, again, if businesses fail, a lot of buildings are going to be vacant, and who knows what will happen to housing. But people will always need water and food, and electricity and garbage services. So there's just that area of investment that the rich people are investing in. Anyway, that's the rumor. I just have to kind of gather the information I can and come to conclusions, and that is my conclusion. So we have a virus going on that is causing all sorts of problems in our economy, and that's another factor. what's going on with this virus anyway? It's causing a lot of people to be very afraid, and that's for sure. Fear everywhere. And it's really not a deadly threat like some things are, but it certainly is viewed as a deadly threat. And then what's going on with people is that they are getting very afraid of other people. And if I was an enemy of the United States, I think that to conquer or reduce the strength of the United States, I would want every person in the United States to be fearful of somebody else. And that would create distrust and greatly reduce personal communication on a person-to-person basis. So is that what COVID is doing? Oh, yeah, it sure is. And it's also violating people's freedom or civil rights in a big way. So there are things that are going on, and the science certainly is not settled. Oh, here's a researcher, David Martin, PhD, of National Intelligence Analyst, and he cites patents by Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Ralph Baric. And both of them of the CDC, and saying they had patents on coronavirus from 1999 and 2003. And then in a 2007 petition from the CDC to the U.S. Patent Office, they asked that patent on the coronavirus would be kept secret. Oh, what a research point that is, isn't it? And there's a question of why the United States had research on the coronavirus from 2003 to 2013, when in 2013 the NIH suspended research on coronavirus, and then 2014 coronavirus research was offshored to Wuhan Institute of Virology. And you know what happened there. So there are real questions about what the history of the people dealing with this coronavirus are. Another doctor, Leon Weiler, he is the president of the Institute for Pure and Applied Science in Pittsburgh, says that both the normal animal and human testings were not required on coronavirus because of the immediate need, and that alone makes the vaccine questionable. That Dr. Leon Weiler also stated, because of the hundreds of thousands of peptides in the human body potentially matching up with the 28 proteins in the vaccine, that this very well would create a pathogenic a priming, which makes the disease have a worse effect in the body than it would have had if there was no vaccine at all given. And therefore, there would be an autoimmune response where the body attacks itself that was instigated by the vaccine. So he cites the Moderna trials and says initially there was a 21% adverse response to the vaccine, and then in December of 2020, the CDC reports a 3% health impact events of the COVID-19 vaccine. So 21 to 3% is a pretty good increase, or decrease, I should say, of the effectiveness of the vaccine. But there still are some health impacts. And by the way, what they call a serious health impact event is when a vaccinated person is unable to perform their daily tasks or daily activity, like unable to work or requiring the care of a doctor or health professional. So the numbers say something that we are uncertain about, and we don't have the full results of the vaccine testing because there were no animal or human trials. They had been skipped because of the urgency. Well, there's a lot of pressure to have this vaccine injected into everyone. And of course, I wonder why. I think about December, late. I think it was the 29th of 2020. Spain's health minister said they are moving ahead with plans to set up a registry of people who refuse to be vaccinated against coronavirus. And they will share this list with other European Union nations. So, yeah, I wonder why the powers that be want so desperately for everyone to be vaccinated. I don't know what your position is in all this. So many people, well, just trust the authorities. But I personally have not had very good results when I have just trusted some of the authorities. Well, I hope your life experience in that has been better than mine. But all I know is I will never trust authorities like I once did when I was young. Still, what are you going to do? I sure don't know what the answer is, and I don't know what to tell you about what to do. It's just that I have questions that I've never had before in my life. So, we have a serious look at it. I know there are also people who notice that Bill Gates has been a huge advocate of getting the entire world vaccinated against all sorts of things. And some of the people talk about Bill Gates strongly advocating a world population that is at least reduced, maybe greatly reduced. So, it is natural that some people believe there is a correlation between vaccinations and the world population reduction. And sure, look at that. What if it is true? Then what? It's okay to look at these questions and wonder. And all these years, we in our society and in the world have been injecting all sorts of things into our own bodies and the bodies of our children. There are enzymes and proteins and things grown on organs from humans and organs from or genetic material from pigs and horses and poultry. It's just in the vaccines that we are taking. I remember once that there was that simian virus 40 that is sometimes has been suspected of promoting cancer. So if you have a question about that, look up SV40. It was in the early polio vaccines. So look into all these things. It is not easy to look up these things. And the big thing that is a distraction or something that keeps us from knowing is when we have to look at the scientific names that are in vaccines. Long words, long names. And so it takes time for the regular people to look up the meaning of what these long names mean. So what do we end up doing? Saying, oh, well, the government requires, or the doctor says it's a good idea, and therefore we go along with the program. That's just so typical, and it's hard to have the very solid arguments when you are coming in a discussion with a doctor or a health authority. But just look for yourself. That's the best thing you could do, and see what your individual position on this is. I have kind of wondered if there is a biblical position or argument, and I think you could look at it like that and say that in the Bible it talks about keeping our bloodlines pure and not intermixing, for instance, species of animals with humans. It's a question. I mean, you can look back at the days of Noah. The days of Noah before the great flood, when there was perversion of every sort going on, and perhaps the genes were being mixed by a natural means. So we really can't present a lot of these things as fact. There's only indicators, and so we have to use a little discernment and pray about these things and try to understand. But look at the possibilities. Sure, lots of possibilities. I look at possibilities and I talk about them. I know one of them, which I just learned about, was the researcher and author Tom Horn. He has some non-typical ideas and has had some predictions that in the past have been accurate. So I think that whatever you look at, sure, examine and question, but what he talks about or writes about is very interesting. One of the statements that he made is absolutely earth-shaking. It's as earth-shaking as any that I have ever heard, which is that Jesus is returning, and he gives the year. Now, if that is true, we had better be very serious about our relation with God, and yes, about salvation in generally, while our salvation probably is sure, think about the salvation of other people, like people in our family that we want them to know Jesus, and our friends. And so ultimately a part of this Jesus returning, which I'll say in a minute, the idea here is that we are able to share the good news of the gospel and be saved from hell, which the Bible says is the destination of those who do not believe in Jesus. So, Tom Horn, he was saying that Jesus will return in 2026, and that is based on an asteroid that is coming to Earth. You know, I have a hard time with every single prediction, every single one, and that includes Tom Horn's prediction. So whether it's 2026 or 2029, after 3.5 years, those are a question of dates that are examined. And there's a question also of when would the rapture be. And I don't think that we need to really pay too much attention to those dates or any dates. I think that our point of interest ought to be that it might be soon, relatively soon. And if that date is either one of those two dates is a true date. The thing that we ought remember is having to spread the gospel to the unsaved. That's what we want to do, and give people the opportunity to accept the free gift of forgiveness of sins, their sins, and salvation. That's what I think the important part of whether that date is correct or not. We can use it as a motivator to talk to people about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So those dates might mean nothing, but we do have dates that are important, and the dates that we really find important is when we will pass into eternity, or that when that other person who we care about passes into eternity. Those are the real dates that we need to be concerned about, and we don't know when they are. So kind of remember Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, about how to be saved. To confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and to believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then there's John chapter 3, verse 3, where Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So, with that said, let us be born again. And it's pretty much in the spirit. That's what I understand they're talking about. And like I said before, we remember preaching the gospel to every creature, and he who is baptized will be saved. Mark 15:16. But he who does not believe will be condemned. So just remember those things when you're thinking about dates, because that's really the important date, and we don't know when those dates are. But I do think it's interesting to talk about such a date that Tom Horn says, and he has been pretty accurate with some other dates that he has given. So look at it if you want to, but remember the important thing is simply your faith in Jesus Christ and then living it day to day. Well, life goes on around us. It always does. And we all get distracted from this thing and from that. So just remember to remember the truth of the gospel, because what is more important than our relationship with God, Jesus? And then to preach the good news of the gospel, or spread the good news of the gospel, to those are around us. And you know, in life, there are so many people who are completely absorbed by something else other than God. We all know that. And I talked about that earlier. What is it? Money or relationship or the computer things? It's something. Distractions are easy to happen. And we still want to be concerned with loving people. And a part of that is talking to people about the problems going on and the salvation that they can have in Jesus Christ when they're and having their sins forgiven. So always remember the important parts of that, because there really are some important parts. Like the suffering of the innocents, you know, that's one of those things that we see in the Bible. There are examples that God does not want. He does not like it when the innocent suffer. So we have to remember that lives matter. And in a way, it doesn't matter what shirt you wear, what hat you wear. We just want to remember that we don't want the innocent to suffer, or for that matter, to be aborted. And there are those who get all fired up about all sorts of other issues. I suppose that's okay. People get fired up about, equal rights or persecution of the innocent or gun rights or election fraud. They're just people who have all sorts of issues. But when you're looking death in the face, those other things just don't matter so much. When you just know death could be minutes away or somehow just very, very close, you suddenly realize what is important to you. And very quickly, the things that you thought were important just aren't important any longer. That's an experience of life. So remember to live by your godly moral guidelines. And part of that is truth and justice. Truth and justice. Do you think about the elections? Were they true and just? There's a lot of people who say that the elections were not true and were not just. And with our God caring about truth and justice, we can just know that there can be some consequences coming when we are not truthful and just. And if you remember Thomas Jefferson, he once said, "Our God is a just God, and his justice cannot sleep forever." And so, let us seek God's righteousness, and that's a part of living life in a fair and honest way. And that includes the elections. Our elections, see, over half of the U.S. population believe that our votes were not tabulated correctly and that there was massive voter fraud. So as we try to grasp what is true, we have a history of our country being good and true. That's been for so many years and decades in the past. So it is hard for us to realize that things have changed in our country so dramatically that there could be untruth and deception at the highest levels of our government. That's a real possibility. And we just have to know that that's possible. Or in fact, the evidence is that it's going on. And so we want to be as truthful and righteous as we can. Do you remember back, November of 2020, the news reported that President Trump had spoke to Georgia's the vote person, and was trying to pressure him to overturn the election results and to declare Trump a winner. At that time, there were a few bits of that conversation reported in the news. And I thought, what was wrong with Trump? How could he say that? But if you look at how long that conversation was, you know that a whole lot of things were said beyond that. And right today, there is a website, www.mikelindell.com, And he gives us a much better understanding of that conversation and how President Trump was just talking about two areas of the votes. That's something, if you are concerned with honest elections, by all means, look at that MikeLindell.com website. He talks about how so many states had improper voting, where, for instance, people who did not have a valid address were counted. Just lots of improprieties. There were tens of thousands under the legal age who voted in the voted. There were many thousands of dead people who voted. And there were people who were registered to vote in another state, and they voted in two states. There were the illegals in the country who voted, and there were people who voted twice. Now, all these people were counted in the results of our election, and that was the kind of discussion that President Trump had with that Georgia official. So, look at those videos. They are something. The number of people that www.mikelindell.com has who are giving their own expert testimonies, it just makes you realize that the votes that were verified and counted all over should not have been. That we had vote tabulation or verification going on in Italy and Spain and Germany, and that there was a connection between computers in China. In fact, he says 60% of the vote fraud originated from computers in China that interacted with computers in the United States, within various counties. So China was a very active part of this, and Iran was a very important part of this. And Mike Lindell brings to light the computer logs that show how this is true. There was a speculation that U.S. government agencies were given this information, but as one watcher says, the reason the U.S. government does not want to get involved in this dispute is because it would give attention to the vote manipulation that the United States government has itself been doing in foreign elections. Interesting. Of course, we can only guess at what's going on, but people with a pretty good expertise are saying this kind of thing. One of the estimates that was also on this video was that if there was a true vote count, Biden would have received 68 million votes and Trump would have received 80 million votes. So whatever the vote count really was, there's plenty of evidence that points to massive vote manipulation. And we know that God is a God of justice. And we know that if we in our own personal and individual lives are unjust and untruthful, we get consequences. And we know that our country will get consequences for allowing practices that are immoral. So, be aware, and what we can do is to be moral and honest and righteous in the path that we walk on. Look at that video if you want, because it has experts that really have some good rational arguments to support voter fraud in this last U.S. presidential election. We do have things going on in the country, and we can, there are things that sometimes are going to distract us, and sometimes they're going to just plain get our attention. Obviously, some of it's good. Some of it, I mean, good to pay attention to. I just think of that there was a Pogo comic strip from the 1970s, and it was quite talked about at the time that the punchline of it was, we have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. And I just have to think about that for what's going on in our country, and I see what we have allowed. Look at what we have allowed. We all have allowed ourselves to be electronically tracked and traced and recorded. The NSA, National Security Agency, has all of us for 20 years recorded about where we go, who we talk to, what we do, where we spend our money. It's something that is just one of those remarkable things. And what difference does it make anyway? None. If we have a free and honest, uncorrupt government, but if we have an authority that is authoritarian, then we're in trouble. So, about those Texas situations, remember that all those outages could happen here. Millions of people could be out of electricity again, and our Congress did nothing to pass the protection of electrical outages from an EMP or a CME when they've had several chances, but they never did. So we could be facing any kind of a situation just like that. So take your own personal preparedness precautions. That's what I think. So listen again to any of the past broadcasts of Christ Today at www.christtoday.org, all lowercase and no spaces. And you are certainly welcome to write me. Oh, and get my free preparedness pamphlet. I do ask you to send a stamped self-addressed envelope to me if that's what you want. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord.